Today's episode of A New Beginning is brought to you by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Learn more at harvest.org. And while you're there, browse our library of free ebooks designed to help you grow in your faith.
Don't tell me you're a Christian and you're blatantly breaking the commandments left and right. If you love him, do what he says. And if you don't do what he says, really, how much do you love him?
In John 15, the Lord said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Pastor Greg Laurie says the meaning is clear.
You know, Jesus did not say, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever you agree with." He said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you."
This is the day.
To be a Christian, you don't have to fill out a form in triplicate and have it notarized. You don't have to cut your hair a certain way or get a tattoo. There are no secret handshakes or confidential passwords. But how do we know if we're really a Christian? That's not an insignificant question. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us evaluate ourselves to see how our commitment matches the biblical requirement. It's a part of his happiness series based in Philippians.
You know, sometimes people ask the question, can a Christian lose their salvation? Let me give you a short answer. Ready? No, I don't think so. But let me ask another question that I think addresses a deeper issue. I don't think the question should be, can a Christian lose their salvation? I think the question should be, did that Christian who's allegedly lost their salvation ever really have salvation to begin with? You see? Because if they did not bring forth what the Bible calls fruits in keeping with repentance, I would suggest to you that they never were a Christian at all. Hey, just because someone carries a Bible doesn't make them a Christian. Just because someone says, "Praise the Lord," it doesn't make them a Christian. The Bible says, even the demons believe and tremble. There has to be fruit or results in their life as they work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Hey, here's something you might want to write down. Here are 5 litmus tests to show that you are really saved. Because someone will say something like this, "You know, I tried the whole Christianity thing and it didn't work for me." That drives me crazy when I hear it. Because my answer is, no, you didn't. Well, how do you know? Because Christianity is not an it, it's a him. And it's God Almighty. And when Christ comes into a person's life, he will work in that life. So if it, in quotes, did not work, that's not about him, that's about you. And here's some questions I would ask the person who allegedly, quote, tried the whole Christianity thing, end quote, and it didn't work. Number one, I would ask them, did you confess Jesus Christ as Lord? Because 1 John 4:15 says, if anyone confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Did you confess Christ as Lord? Did you ever tell anyone you were a Christian? I'm not saying that all you have to do is confess Christ as Lord, because you could do that and not be a Christian. But having said that, I think if you are a Christian, you should confess him. Sometimes we have people walk forward in invitations, and you've heard me quote the verse where Jesus says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father and the angels in heaven. And the reason I do that is it helps people to see this is a serious commitment that you must make. And I'm not saying that's the only way to confess him, but it certainly is a way to confess him. Being a Christian is not something that is hidden, but is open. Number two, do you obey the commands of Jesus Christ, or did you obey them? Because 1 John 5:3 says, this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. Did you keep his commandments? Don't tell me you're a Christian and you're blatantly breaking the commandments left and right. If you love him, do what he says. And if you don't do what he says, really, how much do you love him? You know, Jesus did not say, you are my friends if you do whatsoever you agree with. He said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Some will say, well, what if it's hard? So what? If he commands you to do it, you do it. It's whatsoever. You say, well, what if you disagree with the Bible? Change your opinion. You're wrong. And the Bible's right. It's as simple as that. Also, that verse says his commandments are not burdensome. You know, do you find the Christian life miserable and confining? Does it seem to you as though God is out to spoil all your fun? I think you're missing the point a little bit. Because if you've really met Jesus and he's come to take residence in your heart and you really have this love relationship with him, I think you will want to do the things that please him. And I think you by nature, and I would also add by a new nature given to you by God, you would not want to do the things that would displease him. Okay? Number three, if you're a Christian or if you claim to have been a Christian, were you unhappy or miserable when you're sinning? Were you unhappy or miserable when you're sinning? 1 John 3:9 says, everyone that has been born of God does not habitually sin because God's seed remains in him, and he's not able habitually to sin because he's been born of God. Listen, a Christian will not be sinless, but a Christian will sin less and less and less. I think what happens is the more you become like Christ, the more you realize you're not like Christ. And the more godly you become, the more you realize how ungodly you really always were. So there's always the awareness of sin, but at the same time, there is change in our behavior. There is change in our actions. There is change in the things that we say and do. That's bringing forth fruit in keeping with repentance. But notice that it says that if you are born of God, you will not habitually sin. It doesn't say you won't sin at all. Because some will say, well, I've reached sinless perfection. No, you haven't. No, I have. Well, you're lying, and that's a sin, and you haven't. Because the Bible says that we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we'll never be sinless this side of heaven. But having said that, if you can sin habitually, okay, that's the key. In the Greek, it says, if you habitually sin, it's not like, oh, I sin. God, I'm sorry. I repent. That's one thing. It's a person that sin and then sins the next day and the next day. In fact, they're living in a pattern of sin. They're living in a lifestyle of sin. This is the choice they make over and over and over. If you live that way, according to scripture, you're not really born of God. So there should be kind of a misery there. And if you're unhappy in sin, that's good. And if you're happy in sin and you don't feel any conviction or guilt, wow, that's a bad thing, actually. You see? I think it comes down to this. It's not that these people are losing their salvation. It's that they never really had salvation to begin with. Look, I know Christians can go astray. I know there can be prodigal sons and daughters. My mother was a prodigal for most of her adult life. And came back to faith under the wire shortly before she died. Both of my boys for a time were prodigal sons. They knew what was right. They weren't happy living the way that they were living, but they were living in a way that was not right before the Lord. But thankfully, both of them recommitted their life to the Lord. And I think here's what it comes down to. A true believer will always come back to God. Now, if someone says they're a Christian and they never come back, then I would suggest to you they were never a Christian. But if they're a Christian and they come back, then that shows they're a child of God, or we could call them a prodigal. Now, you've all heard the story of the prodigal son, right? How many of you have heard the story of the prodigal pig? Yeah, that's in the Bible too, the prodigal pig. It's in 2 Peter 2. It says it would be better if they had never known the right way to live than to know it and reject the holy commandments that were given to them. They make this proverb come true: a dog returns to its vomit and a washed pig returns to the mud. I know the Bible is true for many reasons, but here's one. Not just because it predicts the future accurately, not just because everything it has said I found true in my life, but because I've seen a dog eat its own barf. That's what it's saying. A dog returns to its own vomit. Dogs are so weird that way, right? And I watched the dog throw up and eat it. What's going on? What's going on in the dog mind there? need a hot meal. Blurp, there it is. Really? Then later they'll wash it down with some toilet water. Then they'll lick us in the face and people will say, oh, you know, a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's. Oh, do you eat barf and drink toilet water? Because that's what that dog just did. So a dog returns to its own vomit. Why does a dog do that? Because it's a dog. And dogs do doggy things. And he's an animal. But people want to treat dogs like little humans. The other day, I slowed down for a person because they're getting their baby stroller out. And I was so patient. They opened up the back of their SUV and they got it out. It was all pink and frilly. And I'm just waiting, smiling. Oh, wow, you know. And then they pulled a dog out. And I almost was mad, okay? I mean, really? And they're pushing the dog around. Isn't it interesting? No one pushes cats around in strollers. Why is that? Maybe cats are smart in that regard. I'm not getting in that. Dogs are like, "Bars, great. I'm going to eat barf later." I don't know what's happening. But then there's the pig. You know that some people are buying pigs as pets. The newest craze is a teacup pig, which really is a pot-bellied pig. That's what they call it. And it's just a smaller version. And you know, there are articles out there telling you it's not like having a dog. They cost more and there's a lot of trouble with them. And you know, all these issues with pigs that, you know, think I want a little pot-bellied pig. I'll carry the little pig around with me and, you know, and I'll get the pig a little outfit and it'll be my little, yeah, you know, the pig would rather be in the slop. And you know why pigs hang out in slop? Because that's how they cool off. So a pig is happy cooling off in the slop, right? That's where they want to go. They want to go back to the pig pen. They want to eat all that garbage on the ground. That's a pig, because a dog is a dog and a pig is a pig and a horse is a horse, of course, of course. And if you're laughing, you're old or you've seen the Mr. Ed TV show. Maybe you saw it rerun. But anyway, here's my simple point. They're just doing what comes by nature. So coming back to the issue I raised earlier, a prodigal will always return to God, but a pig won't. So are you a pig or a prodigal?
In just a moment, Pastor Greg will have his final two of the five litmus tests to help us determine if our faith is genuine. Stay with us.
Whenever you send us a letter, an email, or post a comment on social media, we read every word.
Pastor Greg, I've been encouraged by your teachings, your podcasts, Sunday services, online studies, and everything else I can get my hands on. I now have a peace that can only come from God. I found a great church home for myself and have been attending faithfully for the past 6 weeks. Today, I even signed up to be part of a small group. And while I love all the things I've been learning, what has truly blessed me is seeing God change my heart. I've never shed so many tears of joy over things I see God doing all around me, and your ministry and teachings have been a big part of that. I'm so thankful and want to wish you God's richest blessings.
How have these daily studies ministered to you and your family? Would you let us know? Tell us your story by calling 1-866-871-1144. Again, 866-871-1144.
Well, today, Pastor Greg is giving us five litmus tests to check up on ourselves and evaluate if our faith and commitment is genuine. Let's continue.
Here's another one, two others. Number four, did you keep yourself from the devil? See, if you're really a Christian, if you've really been born of God, you'll keep yourself from the devil. 1 John 5:18 says, we know whoever is born of God does not sin habitually, and he who has been born of God keeps himself from the devil, and the wicked one does not touch him. What does it mean to keep themselves from the devil? Well, the idea is that you stay as close to God as you possibly can. See, I don't keep myself saved, but I can keep myself safe. Let me say that again. I don't keep myself saved. That's God's work. He saves me. But I keep myself safe. Because I know there are certain places, if I go there, that's a bad scene for me. Like, you know, let me illustrate with food. I know there's certain places, there's certain food I like to eat in that place. And if I go there, I'm going to eat that food. But if I don't go there, I won't eat that fattening food. So I may avoid that place. So the same is true in life in general. If I go to this party, if I hang out with this person, if I watch this thing on TV, if I go to that website, trouble always follows. Okay, newsflash, don't go to that website, don't go to that party, don't hang out with that person. See, instead of it, find a better place to go, like church for a midweek Bible study. What a great choice you made. Well done. Pat yourself on the back. Go ahead, try. It's not that hard. Yeah, that looked really weird. Okay. No, but I'm glad you're here. You made a really good choice here for tonight. Replace your ungodly friends with godly friends. Go to websites that will edify you and build you up in your faith. Harvest.org isn't a bad place to go. We have a lot of goodies there. And also we have an app for your phone and daily devotionals and all our messages and all kinds of things. But you know, replace it with something that's better. The Bible says that we should keep ourselves in the love of God. So the idea of that is stay as close as I can to the Lord. And another one, do you love other Christians? If you're really a Christian, you will love other Christians. Why? 1 John 5:1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. You know, when you really love someone, you'll love their kids too. You know, when I have friends, they have kids, hey, I love their kids too. That love extends to the children, right? And in the same way, if we really love God, we'll love his children and we'll want to be with his children. Some people might say, well, you know, I can't find a church I really like. And plus Sunday, it's my only day off. Okay, but the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. It doesn't say, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, unless Sunday is your only day off. Or don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, unless you want to run in a triathlon. Or don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together unless it's a good beach day. No, it says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. To put it in vernacular, don't miss opportunities to be with other Christians for worship in the church, hearing the word of God. I know the church has its flaws. That's because we're in it, right? But just remember that Jesus started and loves the church, and Jesus died for the church. And 1 John 5:1 says, if you love the Father, you'll love his child as well. So if you really love God, you'll love his kids. Now let me turn it around. If you don't love his kids, by that I mean fellow Christians, how much do you love God? How can you say you love God who you can't see if you won't love his people who you can see? Start there. And so these are simple litmus tests that show that our faith is real. Here's the key. Look at verse 13. Don't miss this. It is God that works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. So let's look at it again. Philippians 2, starting in verse 12, Paul writes and says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, which means carry it to the goal, fully complete, like you're in a mine. Fear and trembling was self-distrust. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. It's God working in me. It's not me trying to imitate Jesus. It's Jesus living in me and Jesus living through me. You see, that's where the strength comes. I mean, where did you ever get a desire to even want to open the Word of God? I'll tell you, that came from God himself. Where did you ever find a desire to want to actually worship God? That too came from the Lord. So that's where we're going to get the desire to will and do of his good pleasure. This is what the Lord wants for each and every one of us, so we can know we're saved. But let me just say, you know, some of you maybe have joined us, and most of you have, physically at least. We're talking about being saved, and you don't even know what we're saying. I think the phrase saved is a perfect expression that's very understandable. We understand it in other settings. Someone's in a burning building, firefighter rushes in, what do we say? They were saved, right? Or someone's drowning, and a lifeguard goes and rescues them, what do we say? They were saved. Because they were on the brink of death and someone saved their life. So when we talk about Christ being in life, what do we say? You're saved. Saved. Saved from what? Hell? That's a big one. It's the biggest one of all. You're saved from hell. Because you've believed in Jesus, you're no longer going to hell. And now you're going to heaven. But saved from what else? Saved from the power of sin. I no longer have to be under its control. I've been set free by Christ, saved from any addiction, saved from any vice, saved from anything or anyone, and saved from the power of the devil. Oh man, before I was a Christian, I was like a spiritual dartboard. I had no way to fend off the devil. But because Christ lives in me, we already read there in 1 John, the wicked one touches me not. That doesn't mean the devil can't tempt me, because he can and he will. That doesn't mean the devil will not hassle me, because he'll do that as well. But what it means is the devil cannot control me, and the devil cannot attach himself to me, and certainly the devil cannot live inside of me. It's almost like you have an ID tag hanging off you now that says property of Jesus Christ, and the devil can read in respect to it, but he still wants to make your life hard. And if you're listening to him, then you'll have trouble. But if you keep your distance from him and keep your eyes focused on Jesus, just remember, God will never give you any more than you can handle. There's always a way of escape to every temptation. But saved, I love that. In a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to believe in Jesus. You might ask, well, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? What it means is you believe he's here, you believe he's real, and you ask him to come into your life, because when it's all said and done, being a Christian is Christ living in you. And he will come and set up house in your life. He will come and take residence in your heart and be your Savior and be your Lord and be your friend and much, much more. But he will not force his way into any life. He waits for our invitation. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. And Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and going to that cross and dying for our sin to save us. And thank you for rising again from the dead. And now you stand here at the door of our life and you knock. And if we'll just hear your voice and open that door, you will come in. I pray for any that are here that don't know you. Help them to come to you now, we would pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer about coming to the Lord to find forgiveness of sins. And if you'd like to do that, Pastor Greg will help you in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. You know, Pastor Greg, we often invite listeners to write to you. Mm-hmm. We invite them to let you know how these studies impact their lives.
Yeah.
We've mentioned your email address is simply greg@harvest.org.
Right.
We talk to them each day, but it's always nice when they talk to us. You enjoy that.
Yes, I do. And listen, this is so we can have a two-way conversation. So you can communicate with us as we continue to communicate with you. And together, like links in a chain, we will all do our part to bring the gospel to our generation. So if you would prayerfully consider that, I'd really appreciate it. Bottom line, just write me a letter today. Dave will give you the address. I look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, that's right. Our address is A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Drop us a note today. And if you can include an investment so these daily studies can continue, that would be great. We are completely listener-supported. You can also go online to harvest.org. There you can make a donation and get the details on the resource we'd like to send you to thank you for your investment. Again, that's harvest.org. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. We can take your call anytime at 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, you pointed out the importance of asking Jesus to forgive our sins a few moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
Could you help those who want to do that very thing right now?
Yeah, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ stands at the door of our life and he knocks. And if any man will hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. Maybe as you've heard me speak today, well, you've heard another voice speaking to you. It's the voice of God. And you realize you need Christ in your life. You need your sin forgiven. You want the assurance that you will go to heaven when you die. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to pray. And I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you will be saying to Jesus, Lord, come into my life. I choose to follow you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I turn from that sin now, and I put my faith in you. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my God, and my friend. I choose to follow you, Jesus, from this moment forward. Thank you for loving me and calling me and accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to know on the authority of Scripture that Christ himself has come into your life. The Bible says, these things we write to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you just prayed that prayer in a minute, you can know today you have eternal life. And may I be the first to say to you, welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and we want to help you grow as a believer. Let us send you our New Believers Growth Packet. We'll send it free of charge if you prayed with Pastor Greg today. Just call us at 1-800-821-3300. We can take your call anytime, so again, dial 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or just go to harvest.org and click on Know God. Well, next time, Pastor Greg presents the final message in his Happiness series. It's a look at running this race of life successfully. Join us here on A New Beginning with pastor and Bible teacher Greg Laurie.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to A New Beginning. This is a podcast made possible by Harvest Partners. So for more content that can help you know God and equip you to make him known to others, or to learn more about how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org.